You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200K for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does all the work for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. Visit Picasso to see thousands of listings. That's PACASO.com.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
The next day I got to the office and we went down and they asked me to come down to the cafeteria and I did and they handed me a football. My name was on it. And I looked at that and that blew me away.
Oh,
that just blew me away. Yeah, I just, when I saw that, that was my holy shit moment. Are we allowed to say that on the...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You're okay. Good, you're good.
Damn right.
Thank you for tuning in. I'm Peanut Tillman, and this is the NFL Players Second Acts Podcast. And with me, as always, I got this guy over here. He's nothing without me, but he's better with me. What's up, baby? Roman Harper. That's my guy.
I agree with you. I agree. I totally agree with you. First and foremost, let me just go ahead and say this now, because I don't know if we're going to start over or we're going to keep this thing rolling. I want to thank all of our listeners, our viewers out there. Give us a 5-star rating wherever you pick up your podcast, whether it's Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, wherever you listen to. Tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend. Give us a 5-star rating. Give us a review. Click that like button and a follow. Go ahead, Peanut.
All right. I've never read a resume like this before, so it's a lot. It's not the typical resume. So
we've not had a guest like this.
We've never had a guest like this. So 3-star athlete, football, baseball, basketball from the Bronx in New York. He was named athlete of the year his senior year, recruited by several colleges to play football. He had an injury that ended that. He would eventually take a different route to the NFL. He was an intern to chief executive, and now he is probably the commissioner to the most popular sport in the world.
No, probably.
Ladies and gentlemen, the commissioner, Roger Goodell. Come on.
Thank you, man.
And you got like this, he's got this Bruce Wayne swag kind of going, turtleneck.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Like he just.
I knew I shouldn't have worn.
He's got the foot up. Like he just, like, I'm like, okay, a little Bruce Wayne, you know, I'm feeling it though. I like it.
It's beautiful. We were just having our little jibber jabber now. I love it. I don't even know if I've seen the commission.
I'm going to play this for my wife. She's gonna love hearing this from you too.
Your kids are gonna love it too.
All we need is a fire, like right there. You know what I mean? Let me get a little fire going right there. It'll be perfect. Commish, I gotta be honest with you. So nobody knew who you were up until you were the commissioner of the NFL. Could you maybe talk us and just kind of take us through that whole process of how you became the man, and also maybe talk about how, as former players, I don't think anybody knew you until you became the guy. And you kind of came out of nowhere. And now that you've been here 18 years.
As commissioner, 42 years in the NFL.
There it is.
This is 42 seasons for me.
I'm bad at math. When was your first year in the league?
82.
Okay, 80. I was trying to like the two. I ain't even finna do that.
I guess you covered, Peter.
Thank you. Yeah, good job.
I'm better with you.
But it was 82. It was actually the year the players went on strike. My internship was 4 months long, and the players went on strike. I think it was 2.5 months. It was a really difficult time for the NFL overall fans. Mm-hmm. But for, you know, for a young kid who's just starting an internship, it's 4 months. I figured this is going to be the end of all for me. You know, I don't like, it literally was running errands and doing different things.
Did you think the NFL would last? I don't mean to cut you off.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm interested in that.
I fell in love with the NFL and football when I was, I don't know, as young as I can remember, honestly. It was a sport that I love to play. It's a sport that I think teaches so much about life. I think so many of the lessons I learned through playing are lessons that I use every day in my job. But I also had, you know, an incredible opportunity to get to know a lot of players. Like one of my jobs when I was really young was actually recruiting players out of college to come to the NFL because they had a choice to go to the USFL or the NFL.
Oh, yeah. You had choices.
Well, you had to pick.
So
yeah.
Jerry Rice was one of my great recruits. I tell Jerry all the time, I take full credit for your career. But no, I used to spend time talking to the guys about, you know, the benefits of coming to the NFL. And I worked closely with Gil Brandt in that. And
then, love Gil.
Yeah. I got to work with a lot of great people and a lot of great opportunities. I went. Pete Rozelle was a hero of mine, who was a commissioner then. I worked on Pro Bowls. I worked on international. I worked on expansion. I just had a lot of great opportunities that people gave me, supported me, and had a chance to sort of prove myself. So I was well known in the NFL. I was not well known publicly for sure. I had I worked for the Jets for a year, actually, as an intern again.
Okay.
Back in 1984. And I still stay in touch with a lot of those players. That was a great experience for me. So I've just been really fortunate. And as you say, the NFL is an institution that I think people really admire, respect, and love.
They do.
I think we have an influence in the world, much less our country and our communities. And I'm proud to be part of that.
I heard this rumor too. Tell me this. How close were you to actually taking a coaching job with the Jets?
You did your work. I'll tell you what. No, you know, it was the defensive coordinator at the Jets was Joe Gardy at the time.
Uh-huh.
And when my internship ended, which was really just from really the, just beginning of the season to the end of the season, then I was supposed to go back to the NFL. He said, would you stay here and be a defensive assistant? And I really thought about it because I love the game.
Yes.
But I don't know. Did I make the right choice? I'm not sure.
I would say, yeah.
I would say, what position would you coach?
Yeah, that's what I was. That was my question. How did he even know you could coach?
I don't think he did. I think a defensive assistant, that probably means I was, you know, copying the game plans and, you know, doing all the dirty work. So, but it gives you a chance to see, are you a coach, right? So that was, listen, I was a young intern. I was doing everything,
right?
You could ask me to do anything and I would have done it.
Okay.
I was just trying to get my foot in the door and stay in the door.
Yeah.
And learn.
Right.
And I thought that would be a great experience. But as you know, once you go down that track,
You don't get out.
Yeah.
And it was sort of, I thought about, I always dreamed of, and I wrote it in college to my dad when I graduated. I said, I want two things. I want to make you proud and I want to be commissioner of the NFL. And I wrote that in college when I graduated. So I said, well, let's stick with the plan. Let's go.
I should have did that. I was just like, I want to play. I want to get
you
drafted.
You said you want to play?
Yeah. I should have put that in the universe.
Other side.
You didn't so that's what I got to tell my kids.
No, right?
Like, don't be an athlete. Just run the league.
That's what I wanted to do what you did. I just wasn't good enough.
So I think us as former players, we all have that story, that moment where we got hit or something happened and it lets you know that you were in the NFL. I'm so curious to know, as a, I guess, the commissioner, as an executive, what was your welcome to the NFL moment? I mean, clearly it wasn't a hit or anything like that, but what was your like, holy S-A-T, I'm the commissioner of the NFL and I have to deal with this.
Oh, I became commissioner?
Yeah, when you became commissioner, like, what was that like?
I love this.
Oh, my God.
First time it hit me, so it actually happened in Chicago. Okay. That's where the league meeting was. And my wife's family's from Chicago, so we were there, and it was a grueling process. It was 4 months, and it was rough. And, you know, it was overwhelming. Dan Rooney came to my room, knocked on the door, and said, "Commissioner," put his hand out. When he said that, I really didn't know how to react. It was it was really overwhelming because Dan Rooney was one of those. I talked to him every day.
Yeah,
Dan was one of those mentors for me, and you got to have a lot of mentors, and he was one of them. And then everything, the circus went, you know, the press and everything else. But the next day I got to the office and we went down and they asked me to come down to the cafeteria and I did. And they handed me a football. My name was on it already. And I looked at that and that blew me away.
Oh,
that just blew me away. Yeah, I just, when I saw that, that was my holy shit moment.
Yeah. Now, are all 32.
Are we allowed to say that on this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You're good. You're good.
Damn right.
So. Another follow-up question would be, what's the interview like? Is it like all 32 or 29 owners? Or like, do they say, hey, what do you think the success of the league will be in the next 10 years? Or do you do like a business plan or?
So, yes. You know, it's a time really where they set the process. You have to comply. So I forgot what they were. There were hundreds, if not thousands, of people that expressed. Right. And there were politicians, there were all kinds of other things. And I was chief operating officer at the time. So people said, well, aren't you the logical candidate? And I said, no, not in the NFL. I said, you gotta earn it. And, you know, hopefully my experience was helpful. But this process was really grueling in that you had to meet with owners individually. We had a 2-day period where you had to meet with groups of 8 owners and they would just fire questions at you. And it was all about, what do you think of this? What do you think of the future? Where do you think we should go? What's good about the game? What's bad about the game? What do you think you would do as commissioner? And I had to prepare for that, right? I had to think about that and reflect on why I thought I was qualified to be the commissioner, but also what my plan was. Because I was, you know, Paul Tagliabue was a great commissioner. He gave me great opportunities. And I had to sort of chart a different course. And that was hard because I didn't want to be disloyal. Mm-hmm. But I also felt like, you know, it's a different time, right? You have to lead differently and you have to probably do things differently in a lot of areas. And then the vote came down. It was really once that final meeting happened, it was 2 rough days in Chicago. And then they announced it.
Now, listen to you talk. Number one, do you ever think you're ready, right, to be the guy? Like, that's really hard to imagine with all the responsibility, how big the NFL was, imagining how great Paul Tagliabue is. Like, I have a football with his name on it, and I kept it for that reason. And then also, I'm surprised that your welcome to the NFL moment was not in 2006, my rookie year, same as your first year as commissioner.
Mm-hmm. Right.
At New Orleans, first game back in the Superdome versus Atlanta. Mm.
That was
the first time I actually got to meet you. I actually remember this. That was like a big celebration because players, we're all taught to kind of dislike you. And now that I'm not a player anymore, it's kind of cool. Like, you know, actually, Roger Goodell is trying to kind of cool. And he actually is rooting for all the players.
I wasn't taught to dislike you.
I guess it's a New Orleans.
I got to tell you, that was one of the most memorable moments.
Okay.
It wasn't my wow,
yeah,
commissioner in the NFL. So that was clearly, I mean, when that return came, that place just exploded.
It did.
It was rocking. The energy.
It was my first time in the place. I didn't understand it. It was tears. People were crying. It was a lot of emotion.
I just remember watching on TV.
I didn't understand it because I just got there. But being there, I'm so thankful for it.
Well, and for me, you know, one of the first things I did, and Paul deserves the credit as the leadership, we were intent under his leadership to make sure that team got back to New Orleans and played in that dome. And there were a lot of dark days and a lot of difficult days for the people of New Orleans, not just the Saints. But that was a moment where there were many, but there was one of the moments where I realized the impact the NFL could have. It really lifted an entire community up to see that was a symbol of recovery, right? Mm-hmm. That was it's going to be okay. And I think the same thing was true with 9/11. I think the NFL played a leadership role position out of when we were going to play, how long did you mourn the terrible circumstances that we all were facing and the loss.
And the NFL did it right.
Yeah.
And led. So I realized during a lot of those experiences that the NFL could play a valuable role in our communities, much less our world.
We're going to take a short break and we'll be right back.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up, picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all, but here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay, so you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah, like check out these hair. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, tapping, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But I mean, like John Cena got it. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't. Mm-hmm. You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but.
All right, so what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
You know what? Talking about an impact on the world, Taylor Swift. All right. Let's talk about it. All right. Let's get this all out. I can't wait. All right. Taylor Swift, the impact that she and dating Travis Kelce has had on not only the NFL, the news, the
everything,
the right, the left. I mean,
the haircut.
People can't stop talking about it. Like it has become its old deal. Could you maybe talk about how that has like. What has that done for the NFL and how much you guys lean into it? How much are you not? Or you don't have any control over it all. It's just a thing.
Well, you know, everyone teases me about the script. That was not right. In the script.
I was going to walk you down that path.
You were trying to get me to go. So we met her. She actually, going back to New Orleans, after they won the Super Bowl, she was our kickoff performer.
Okay.
And we have two little girls, twin girls, and they were at that time, I think 5. And so we got to meet her.
Okay.
And so we've known the family and they're huge football fans. They love the game. So we knew about her love of football. Obviously, it's great to see two
the
people.
The Swifties don't understand that. The Swifties think totally they're in a totally different lane and they just come. Like they should know that
the and Swift I've got families Swifties are big at home families too. But my Swifties are football fans too. But
you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, but I know you're right about that. They don't, and I think it's been sort of like two worlds colliding.
Yes,
completely. Yes,
and it's been a good thing.
Yes,
because I think people are starting to understand the different worlds.
It's been great for the game, and she brought her fan base to.
Absolutely.
To league. And I don't know what the numbers look like, but I'm sure the numbers are.
You know, it's hard to say, you know, is it this kind of difference in the ratings? But what it does is it's new fans mm-hmm. that are experiencing our game and following it in some way, whether it's watching a game on television or following it on social or however mm-hmm. you want to engage. That's great for us.
Yes. Right.
And so we're not, obviously, the best thing about this is they are two people who I think the world of both of them, and they're great, and they seem really happy, and they're having fun. So, great.
What do you think about all the negativity, the people that come from this negative thing that's like, oh, well,
hey, bro,
they're showing Taylor too much, they're doing, and it's, Like, how do you address that? Or do you even address it? Like, you don't even pay attention.
The production is really up to our network partners. So correct. When yeah. they show, they don't. To me, they do a great job. I get that. But, you know, when a hardcore fan's coming to watch a football game, they don't want any distractions.
Yeah. Right.
But it's part of our game, right? It's part of what we do, right? Bring people together. And when you have 200 million plus fans, not everyone's going to be happy with everything. I promise you. They're going to get pissed about something. Yeah. And you try to minimize that. But I always say every day, I know I'm going to piss somebody off. I just try not to piss off more than 24 owners at one time.
You do get a lot of booze.
I know. You lean into it.
Yeah. You do.
We were talking about that earlier. Introduced me to the draft boo was David Stern. And I remember him saying, well, you haven't been introduced to the draft boo yet. And I said, what are you talking about?
That's so good.
And so he used to get booed at the draft. Yeah. And that's where I guess it started. I don't know. But when we had the labor stoppage in 2011, that's when it happened. The first draft, it could have knocked me over. We were at Radio City, and when they started booing, I'm serious, it almost knocked me back. It was that powerful. I was expecting a good reaction, believe me.
Yeah.
When I say good, strong. But that one really was powerful.
It's like y'all going into Atlanta or me going into Green Bay, all the boos, people just boo, go Bay. So you get it at
Atlanta Week
Sox. I love it, though, because I think it's, fans, that's what they're supposed to do.
Yes. Right?
They, you know, we teach them to be loyal and passionate about their teams. Go for it.
All right. So Super Bowl matchup, 49ers Chiefs. Are you allowed to pick a team? Do you have a team being a commissioner? Is that a conflict of interest? You know, the Chiefs are in it.
Don't even give them that out.
The Chiefs.
Stop right there.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Stop right there.
I'm sorry.
Don't give them the out.
Who are you going for? The Chiefs or the 49ers?
Yes. Don't give them
the Chiefs are back four times in 5 years.
This is the truth because I just love the game. As a commissioner, honestly, what you do is you root for the team that's behind. You root for good officiating. And most importantly, you root for players to be safe.
Oh, that's good advice.
So when I'm watching a game, those are the three things on my mind. And when I'm watching at home, which our team hates when I'm watching at home, because I write notes. I got two or three pages of notes. I'm listening to what the commentators say.
Yeah, I think that matters.
I'm looking at everything and trying to, you know, make sure our game's being presented the best way and that we can do things to improve. So I watch it differently, mm-hmm. but I'm an incredible fan. Like, I'll sit there. I watch football on Friday nights. I go to games, high school games, youth games, college games, NFL games. I love the game. I watch as much football as probably anybody, other than John Madden. He was the one that always watched more football than I couldn't keep up with him. He watched every single game. And that's one of the great values he had for me for 10 years when he quit broadcasting. He was a consultant for us.
Oh,
and whenever I had a question about what happened or football or some trend, he would either have called me or I would call him. And he knew about it. He remembered the play and he'd call it up. And sitting there watching in his, I can't even call it a home, but he basically had a warehouse with all the screens up there with people move that game to the main screen. And he had an engineer who was doing it. It was incredible. It was the most fun I've had watching a football game.
What's one of the things that you've seen at home while you've been taking notes that, say, you didn't really agree with that you've taken to the network that they've changed?
Well, I think one that we spend a lot of time on is officiating. It's a huge, you know, we always work to try to bring technology and we always try to figure out how we improve. I think the officials do a great job, but, you know the speed of the game.
It's so fast.
The thing is that we know the speed of the game.
Right.
The average fan does not understand how fast this game is and how violent it is. Like, they have no idea.
Absolutely. And they also don't understand how hard it is to make those decisions. You have to make them on the field as a player.
Yes.
They have to make them on what's the call.
Trying to follow.
And you can't. You know, if it's 3 seconds.
And we're all cheating. We're all trying to get advantage.
Well, I wouldn't really say you're all cheating, but you are trying to get an advantage. But, you know, I made this point earlier this week, and I've said it since that Kansas City-Buffalo game. They got the call right when the Chiefs player was offsides.
Yeah.
There was no doubt about it.
Yeah.
And if you don't call that, the Bills are going to be pissed off, rightfully so, right? That was a big play. But they were all pissed at the officials, and the officials get it right. And they get it right vast majority of the time. When they don't, we try to use that technology to try to see how can we fix that. And, you know, that's something that we've gotten more and more into and using replay, expedited replays, looking at the expanded a little bit further. That's something that we continue to look at, and we will, as well as training them and trying to see what we can do to improve their ability. But they're humans, right?
They make errors.
They're going to make an error.
So do they get penalized for things that
Peanut, you need to literally, that's a question, but go to what we were not going to talk about to him. And you have to ask this question.
Okay. I'll pivot back to that.
Yeah.
So the show is the NFL Player's Second Axe podcast, right? So, and eventually you hurt your knee, or you got injured your freshman year. How was that experience for you when you had that injury? What were you feeling? And then not only after that, like, how did you transition into your second act?
So, when I had that injury, it was 1977, spring, before I went to college.
Right.
Pitt had just won the national championship with Johnny Majors, but he retired. Jackie Sherrill came over. So I had talked to Jackie Sherrill a lot about coming to Pitt. Like, arthroscopic surgery was just coming out. Literally, it was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. And I didn't trust it yet, honestly. And I just said to myself at that time, I think I want to go a different path. Maybe this happened for a reason. And I wanted to go. I wasn't a great student. I'll just be honest with you. That was not my highlight throughout my high school years.
Huh? You fooled me.
No, I was. I did not.
I checked. I made your resume.
No, I did. I did well in college because I never, you know, that old thing. He didn't apply himself. I didn't apply myself, but I have four brothers. I'm one of five boys in 7 years.
Oh, yeah.
And they were all smart, and they were all, you know, going to great college. And, you know, I was thinking about playing football. And, you know, I just felt like I needed to sort of apply myself and sort of buckle down and say, you know what? You got to prove yourself in the classroom. And I really did feel strongly about pursuing a career in the NFL. I felt something about the commissioner's role and the importance of it and what Pete Rozelle and how he did it. And that was always a dream of mine. I think saying you're going to be commissioner when there's been eight of us since the start of the league. So, and there's been three of us since 1960.
Yeah.
So
were there any struggles though? I know you see, and there's the statistics to show that when a lot of us retire, there's a phase where we have like a struggle period, or there's
it's a transition,
a transitional period. Did you have a smooth transition after you had your injury?
I went to college close to Pitt. It was Washington Jefferson. It was about an hour south of there. Mm-hmm. I missed the game a lot.
Right.
And it was hard, but I was trying so hard to be a student, and all I did was study.
Yeah.
And I just felt like I needed to do that. I thought about coming back and playing at W&J for junior year. And I just felt like, you know what, it's past. I got to go forward. And I just kept moving. I do think life is about transitions. Mm-hmm. And I think that's true for whether you're transitioning into the game, out of the game, into a new career. I think, you know, you always have to be looking forward and planning for that. You're a great example of that. You are always talking about what you're going to do when the game is over, right? And that's, you know, you have to start thinking about that. And it's hard for, we talk about the morning of the draft with all the draft eligible players that come in. And we talk about that. And it's hard. They haven't even been drafted yet. And we're sitting there talking about, you know, right? You got to think about, you know, off the field, you got to think about how you transition, how you continue to look at what you're going to do beyond your playing days. Hard for a young man at that stage to think about that.
We're going to take a short break and we'll be right back.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so this is a personal question, and Thomas is probably looking at me crazy because I'm going to ask it. All right, if you just said it's you and what, it's eight commissioners all time?
I think that's what it all is, right? Yeah.
You guys all in a, you close the door behind you. Who's walking out? You look like Steve Jobs, aka Batman. Like, who's walking out? Everybody's in the best shape.
I didn't know.
Paul Tagliabue has some size. Paul Tagliabue got some.
I think I.
Walking out.
Paul's got some size. I think I can take tags.
See,
I didn't. They're the only other two commissioners, Pete and Paul, that I knew. I think I could get them both.
There you go. I think you can take Adam Silver to him basketball. I think you got Adam Silver too. He's tall and skinny.
I think I can get him. So yeah, I feel good about that. I know this much. I won't lose because I didn't try hard. I'll go down.
Fair enough. If I lose, he ain't like it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
I don't like to lose.
How do you think the league is doing in providing support for its former players? I know it's been a big shift in that under your watch. It's been a lot of, whether it's, you know, negotiations, whatever it is. I've seen a big change from when I was playing to what the players complained about to where it is now post-career. I think you guys are doing an awesome job. I mean, it's more things available now for former players than it's ever been at any point in time for former players. And how has that been under your watch? And then how do you guys continue to push it further and continue to let that grow?
Well, I appreciate you saying it because it has been a lot of work by current players, the union, our ownership, and former players. You know, I met before we did our last collective bargaining with, I think it was 20 gold jackets and went to Canton just to talk about that issue. Mm-hmm. What are the priorities? What are the issues? Pretty much pension was the number one priority that was universal. Everyone had a 2, 3, and 4, and sometimes they were different. And we tried to address those. But it goes to the point of recognizing that those former players, you know, they helped build what we're all sharing in.
No doubt.
And everybody's going to be a former player. I said that in many of the negotiations. All of you have that in common. You will be a former player one day. And it's really important for us to provide the opportunities to the point you were talking about before for transition. How to make that transition successfully. Financial's part of it. But as you know, most of the former players that I talk to, and I talk to a lot, they say it's not really the money. It's not really the fame. It's that locker room. Yeah. It's that support, right? You know, you don't have that structure as much.
Well, I've never been to a doctor until
you didn't have to.
Yeah. It's like
you had plenty of medical attention, right? Like,
right. All these things.
All of that. And I think, and particularly when that's put off for so long, right? Our kids are going through that now, transitioning out of college. I think it's a, you know, they're having to learn that right now.
Right.
You guys didn't have to worry about that until you were over 30, 35. And so I think all of us focus on trying to provide the benefits. We've expanded the benefits.
Yes.
I think one of the challenges, honestly, is making sure that the former players can access those. There's so many programs. It becomes overwhelming. And trying to get them to understand where you access.
Right. That. Having everything in one spot.
Exactly.
Centrally located so you can get to it.
Right. And you know, there are different laws from different states too that, you know, you have to figure. But it's also just trying to keep them part of the game ultimately. Mm-hmm. You know, we really push with our teams to have stronger homecoming weekends, alumni weekends, and have a better relationship. Free agency's made that a little harder.
Yeah.
But I just think it's really important for us to make sure we recognize the importance of what they do and we assist. And then you have one other issue, which you guys know. A lot of our former players are incredibly proud and don't want to ask for help.
I'm glad you mentioned that. I would agree with you wholeheartedly.
It's how we're built.
It is.
You're
absolutely.
I think from the time you're a young child, it's you get injured, but it's like you're good. Okay, get back in there and go. It's good to a certain point, good to an extent, but at some point you have to. Hey, Commish, I need some help. I've been struggling,
particularly in mental health.
Yeah,
we're doing more and more in that area. And I think that's with active players, with all our personnel. I think we have done such a great job on what we call physical health, if you want to look at it mm-hmm. that way.
Yes.
I think the care in the NFL is better than it's ever been. And I think it's extraordinary. But I think the mental health is something that we all got to continue to focus on and try to help players through that and give them the door right. to walk through to sort of say, I need assistance.
Yes.
Yeah.
We all do at times. Yeah. I mean, it's not a weakness. And I think the macho part of it is hard, right?
Right, right.
And does that mean he's weak? Does that mean he's not going to show up in the fourth quarter? I think we're changing the culture on that. That's not a weakness.
Right.
It's actually a strength.
Strength, most well, definitely.
I think it's super important, and I don't want to cut you off, Pina, yep. but, you know, I think the most important call I've had in this 2024 year is to call the benefits department and say, I want to go see counseling just to see I'm not crazy.
Right. Right.
You know, like I'm not that thrown off. I do just want to talk to somebody else. And I think that is okay.
It's healthy.
Yes. Why don't you call me? I'd have picked up.
But you're not going to tell me what I need to hear, right? It's like you're going to tell me what I want to hear. And it's really important to sometimes the most important conversation you have is the one you have with yourself.
Absolutely.
Right. And so understanding that, having some self-realization, I think that's real. I appreciate you understanding that, especially for us players, how important that is in making sure that the people on top know that, hey, we need to allow these guys to access this, to be a part of their lives.
Well, you know how much I respect I have for our players. The things that some of our players have overcome in their life mm-hmm. and the journeys that they've been on, I think it's one of the things that is so great about the draft. It's because they get to know these players as young men and their journey and how they got to where they are. Mm-hmm. And some of the stories they're inspiring, they're difficult, but you look at these young men and you sort of say, they're extraordinary, not just as athletes, they're extraordinary as people.
Yes.
And I think people forget that because, you know, you're wearing the helmets and they're thinking about that's a player, that's a person. Number one, and they're great young men, and I couldn't be prouder of them.
So, I got a fun question for you. 42 years you've been playing, or excuse me, not playing. You've been in the league 42, right? You said 42.
Yep.
Mount Rushmore of all the people that have helped you get to where you are in life right now, those four people, who would they be?
Wow, that's hard. I mean, you know, it always starts with family to mm-hmm. me. You know, I've been so blessed with a great family. My parents were great. I lost them very young. But I have four brothers still, and we're all really close. I have a great wife who understands what I do, and my twin daughters. Pardon me?
That's two.
Two?
Yeah.
You get four. Put in those categories?
Yeah.
The four brothers in one. And then, the wife is two. Yeah. So you get two more.
No, but I better put my wife first.
Just okay.
For the record, I'm putting my wife first.
Understood. Cool points, but I got you two.
I think professionally, the number of people who gave me opportunities to shine, Pete Rozelle, who gave me a chance to come into the NFL, people who are my supervisors. Pete Abitanti worked with me. Pete was my first supervisor when I walked in the door. Mm-hmm. So many people that were just supportive and gave me the opportunity to try to do something. And then I would put all those mentors that are outside the league. I have so many mentors. I'm a huge mentor and believe in that. We all need that. We all need someone to sort of support us, sometimes tell us what we don't want to hear, sometimes just to be an ear. But I think mentorship's really important. And I literally have hundreds. And they're from every different world you could imagine. And I think that's important because it's perspective. Yeah. People talk about diversity, and I always talk about diversity and diversity of experiences and thought and perspective. And that's what I treasure in this job. You have a lot of information that you have to balance, but you better understand all the perspectives before you make a decision.
Appreciate that perspective.
So,
Rome, we don't have any more time. We got to. I knew you were going to ask 1,000 questions.
I'm going to. Yes.
Go for it.
I'm going to. I want to know your top four players of all time. Who's on your mouth? Nah. Four players of all time.
Peanut, Roman.
I'll take that.
I've just met so many great players and so many just great people. I could never pick four out of them.
Okay.
All right. Smart
question. I couldn't do it.
I like it. Thank you. You're a busy man. It's Super Bowl. Your assistant, she's trying to get you to go. This dude will talk all day. Appreciate you for coming out to the show.
Thank you, guys.
Always a blessing to have you on. Appreciate you.
I enjoyed it.
Kamish, I appreciate it, man. In all honesty, having you here is almost like making our very first Pro Bowl. You have officially made us official. So thank you for having us.
You deserve
it. Thank you guys for coming, man. Everybody that looks, watches, continue to do that. Roger Dell is here. That means we are official here. We have made it.
AKA Bruce Wayne.
Tima Tillman, thank you so much. Wherever you listen to us, pick us up on your podcast, whether it's Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio. Tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend. Give us a 5-star rating. Thank you. Give us a review. Hit follow. Peanut, get us up out of here, man. Thank you.
Hey, we out. Cut. We out. It's a wrap. We done.
You guys are good, man.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.